Welcome back to the Telosa Tech Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am once again joined by two AirPods, a Nick, and a Randy. Not in a charge case, though. They are out and about. How are you guys doing?
I'm flexing my AirPods Pro.
Randy's in a charge case, actually. What is that's what our beds were at the end of the day. We just...
Whoa.
That is our charge case. There's a giant orange light on the front of all of our beds.
Interesting.
That or turns green when we're done.
If you have the cheaper version of mine.
If you have the cheaper version of a bed, the light is actually inside the bed, and you have to take all the sheets off to see if you're orange or green, and you can't wirelessly charge.
Now I want a bed with a light inside.
This is getting very matrixy in regards to us being like batteries and stuff.
Yeah.
Until you turn into one of these.
But holds up a pair of AirPods.
Instead of a Dersa.
Yeah.
I know the AirPods are not real, but it's so delicious. I just want to keep eating these AirPods.
Ignorance is bliss. That's what people say about Apple. Then... Apple call us, you know, oh yeah, ignorance is bliss. And
yeah.
It is.
I know
it
Kung
might
Fu.
All be zeros and ones, but I don't want to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Show me.
Show me.
Show me.
I know Kung Fu.
So, Apple Watch is unlocking iPhones now. How do you guys feel about this?
Invaded of my privacy?
I wanted to text you all week, but I was like, nah, we got to save this.
Save it for the show. Good job, Drew. I haven't tried it yet. Have any of you?
It's impossible.
No, I mean, it's still in the beta right now.
We all
I mean, it's
can
not
do
impossible.
Betas.
It's improbable.
It just launched in the public beta today. So
we all
before
have developer
that, you have
accounts.
To be on the... Yeah, but we're not doing...
I know.
You know Randy.
Nicholas.
And you know me.
I was just asking. You're...
Nicholas. Dick.
What, Mr. Trump? What are you doing back here? You were fired. Leave me alone. I don't want to see you anymore.
I want you guys to call my phone later, and I want you to hear my voicemail. That's the Easter egg.
Oh, no.
Oh. I haven't heard anybody's voicemail in a long time.
I know. I told my brother to call me, and he goes, who calls? And I'm like, that's not the point. Just... call and listen to the voicemail.
So really what Randy wants to do is Randy wants to see a call from me that he can decline. He wants to send me the voicemail. That's really what this is all about.
Anyway.
He can decline any call.
I can. I think the unlocking with the watch thing implies maybe no need for a Touch ID sensor again.
I was just thinking the same thing. I was wondering, like, I ran a... YouTube poll because I was curious, at least with our audience. I know we're not an adequate representation of everybody.
Speak
but I
for
wanted
yourself,
to know,
Drew. Yes, we are.
I wanted to know how many people... I know Apple Watches are like the most common watch in general now. And I ran a poll that got 13,000 votes and 53%...
Okay, Drew. Keep telling us how popular you are. Okay, we don't need to know.
He's like, I know we're not an adequate survey. Like 13,000... I'm sorry.
13,000 Apple sheep. Yeah.
Can you just give me the whole state of, you know, not state of Rhode Island? Sure, we'll do Rhode Island.
The whole state of Rhode Island.
600,000 people in Rhode Island.
53% have an Apple Watch.
That's right.
So
that's
this
right.
is a pretty large, at least with our channel, it's a pretty large demographic of people. And the reason
million.
I would say. Yeah, the reason I would say this probably matters a bit more is that the type of people that would buy a new iPhone, like right when it comes out because it has Touch ID again, I feel like that's more inclined to be a techie Apple fan base instead of, you know, people who are probably using the same phone from 4 years ago. So these are the more tech-oriented anyway, which means that a fairly large majority of people... who are probably considering getting the iPhone 13 or not, now will have a significant less reason to have Touch ID back.
That's
because
right.
you can unlock with the watch anyway, which I wish was a thing outside of the mask. I wish you could unlock mask or no mask.
Well, now we can.
I want it to unlock everything.
So
imagine the watch being the overall...
the key to your Apple ecosystem.
I wouldn't say,
That's the phrasing, yeah.
I write all of the things on the Apple website,
the definition
guys,
way of calling it a key, but every time they want you to do that two-step, punch in the six digits and all that stuff, if you just used your watch that was already unlocked on you, and it's using, you know, the Bluetooth technology to know it's close in proximity. It's already been unlocked by you. And so, therefore, that's the geolocation part of the two-factor authentication. We already have where you are as that counts. That, by security measures, counts as two-factor because the watch would then have to be treated as like an AirTag in a sense that geolocation, here's where you are. Now we know where you are, and now what you know and who you are is all being mixed in together, but you can't authenticate on who you are because the mask is blocking the biometric part of it. So overriding that, having this, I mean, it works for the iMac or Mac in general, sorry. It works for the Mac in general. It can work for purchasing, like authenticating on purchases if you wanted to.
Whenever I get to use that, I'm so satisfied. Me too. Whenever I'm buying something and
using that to expand everything just makes sense. And if this could be the norm for everything, I almost said that very confidently. I would not have a problem not bringing back Touch ID at all because I think this would be a quicker function. In the sense, not in the go done. Touch ID is the gold standard. We know that, but I mean in the sense that authentication for two-factor authentication for everything. Because Drew, I know you use two-factor for most things in your life just because of you're very neurotic about getting shut down and things like that. So
my password is 123. Got it.
Exclamation point.
Very
Nick,
safety.
Just censor that at the end. So. I would love to have it just as a feature for everything and not just for unlocking, not just for authenticating, but very literally for everything because then it makes it – this it kind of blurs the line of it being a part of you again and it's more seamless. And it also means that Nick has to charge his watch again instead of just keeping it on for no reason.
So
it's charging right now.
No, it's actually not. I had it next to the MagSafe Duo and I meant to put it on this morning, but I forgot and – we're already recording, so it's not on. Sorry.
He put it on the MagSafe part and not the watch.
Like, why isn't it charging?
Man, you guys really laughed at that. I didn't think that was very funny at all.
I laughed. I laughed out of respect.
I just picture how screwed up. That's sad.
I laughed out of respect. That's so real.
It is.
There's so many situations, I think, where humans laugh out of respect.
I laughed out of respect.
Okay.
That's a
so
tweet.
Would you guys I am use not that? A fan of this. I will put my foot down.
Perfect.
And I will make some disagreements. I want Touch ID. Touch ID. I've used the Apple Watch unlock on other Apple devices many times before on different Macs. And it never freaking works. It is the most inconvenient and slow thing ever. It slows down the workflow, and it slows down... It's faster for me to type in my, 7-8-digit password.
Probably because you don't have your watch on.
Well, when I did have it on. I actually don't have it set up. I used to have a...
that might cause the problem.
You know what?
We're at
the beginning of the show. I'm just going to leave. See you guys later. You have fun disagreeing with yourselves. I'm trying to...
You're just saying it's never worked?
Never worked reliably. It has.
It'd probably help if you had it on.
Okay.
It has worked in the past. Like when I had that 16-inch MacBook Pro... 15-inch MacBook Pro, whatever that one that you used to have, Drew. I used that every day with the Apple Watch, and it had a Touch ID sensor, and I had the Apple Watch all set up to do the little unlock with the Apple Watch. And I will tell you, 90% of the time, it was faster for me to put my finger on the Touch ID sensor and then even wait for the little thingy to like try to figure out, because half the time it had already started talking to my watch and it was trying to unlock with the watch. And then when I do the Touch ID, it's like... and then I just end up being frustrated and having to type in my password manually or use the Touch ID sensor. So with this Mac, it has Touch ID, and I use Touch ID most of the time. Because that is easiest. I type in my password on occasion, but Touch ID is just so much faster and more reliable, and you don't have to wait.
It's faster because you have 37 characters just in the first phrase of your password when you're unlocked. Nick is writing a novel to unlock his MacBook, and
it's a novel about you, Randy.
Here's the difference here. Your complaint is with the reliability of it, not necessarily the theory of it. So let's take that out of the equation and say, let's say it did work reliably 100% of the time. Would that change your mind? Or is it just from it not working well with your current machines? Because we've only seen it done with these dated Intel Macs. We don't know how it works necessarily with an iPhone with Apple Silicon or a 5-nanometer chip.
Intel. Oh, he's dropping Intel. Wow.
I think that's part of the reason. I genuinely do. I think
I will set it up on my M1 Mac, which is using a 5-nanometer Apple Silicon thingy, and I will see how it works.
I think you should. Because that doesn't have Touch ID, right?
No, so it doesn't.
I feel like it can only be faster than typing in a password.
Just like anything else.
I mean,
with
I type pretty quickly, especially the password. The one password that I use everywhere. I mean, you really shouldn't be using one password everywhere, everyone. Have you heard of our sponsor today? It's OrgVPN. This is the VPN that all orgs use.
So I use the unlock thing every morning.
You do?
And it's very quick.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, on my iMac Pro. I have been occasional times it didn't work, but I wouldn't say like 90% of the time it was faster.
I believe I said 80%.
I would say.
Yeah.
Or something huge like that. For me, it like doesn't work maybe 10% or 5% of the time. But I don't believe that the iPhone would be that. I think the ratio would be a lot higher. And I think that it could have something to do with the age of the Mac or the dated Bluetooth in it. If it was working reliably, would you be more comfortable
with it? Probably not, because I haven't been wearing it for two reasons. Probably not still for two reasons. Number one, I have not been wearing my watch very frequently. When I have been wearing my watch, I've just been leaving it in low power mode because I got tired of all of those notifications and just feeling constantly attached to the internet. And I can turn some stuff off and stuff, but like I just appreciate living in the moment and not worrying about my phone. So I have not been wearing my watch very regularly for probably 2.5-3 months now, as anyone who follows me on activity can attest to. But I removed you.
Oh,
I feel hurt. I didn't even know.
It was zero every day for like a month.
Yeah, because I haven't turned it on for like a month. What's the point? Exactly.
So, why would I keep it?
Why would you keep it? I don't know why we're friends, Drew, honestly. I have no idea why you'd ever want to be friends with me. I'm just zero every day. Like, that's all I heard.
I'm looking at everybody's activity.
Nick's a zero and I'm a one.
Wow.
Randy. In this
spoiler,
code
I got Sam from iUpdate's activity data right in here. Live scoop.
Look at him. He's eating unhealthily. What's that, Qdoba? What? He'll never see this.
Sam, you set your move goal to 420.
That's
hilarious.
Yeah. Very nice. So that's reason number one. And
you don't
then
like
reason number two, I don't know if I'm upgrading my phone this year. And so I don't think I really need to worry about it. Because I'm fine with how it all works right now.
Well, that point almost works against you. Because you were just arguing that Touch ID should come back. But now you're like, well, if it does, I'm still not getting it.
Yeah. So
you're saying change nothing.
No, I'm saying for me, it would not incentivize me. If this phone suddenly had the ability to be unlocked with my watch, it would not change the way I use it because A, I don't use my watch, and B, I never leave the house. So I've worn a mask maybe a half a dozen times this month, and it's because I just sit here in my room all day long like a sad person.
Well, some of us have to get our own groceries.
No,
Nick.
I get my own groceries.
And we go out.
I just stock up. I have one big grocery trip a year that I take, and I just pile up on everything.
That can't be healthy for your digestive system.
MREs are totally healthy, Randy. Back me up here.
I will tell you from experience, MREs is not the way to go. I have been out of the Marine Corps for 9 years. I am still pooping that stuff out.
So, if Nick doesn't like his Apple Watch anymore, why do you still have one?
Me?
Oh.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. It's just sitting there. It's kind of a fashion accessory.
Every podcast, I'm going to come out with more savings. One podcast, it's like, Nick, you should.
Why do I keep it, Drew? Why do I keep it? I'll tell you. I don't know.
He's on one podcast, I'm like, you should switch to Visible and save money. On the next podcast, I'm like, you should turn off 120 hertz and save battery life on your iPad if you don't notice a difference. Now I'm like, you should sell your Apple Watch because you don't like it.
Hey, if anyone wants to buy my Apple Watch. Randy.
Nick, I don't know how you can afford to live without me.
Honestly.
I've saved you thousands of dollars a year.
Drew, let us not forget the person who originally inspired this, Randy.
I don't even know what that means.
Inspired what exactly?
Yeah. You inspire He's me, deflecting. Randy. And so you've in turn inspired Drew.
It's funny you talk about being disconnected from your phone, because I recall talking about it with Randy because he visited when I was doing this. But when I used the Pixel 3 for a month, I didn't use the Apple Watch for a month. And I found myself more attached to the phone because I couldn't tell when someone was trying to reach me or not. And if it was important, I would have to keep checking the phone. Whereas I feel like if I don't have the watch, I don't know what's going on. So if there is an emergency or if there is something I need to be in contact with, I'm not going to know about it unless I look directly at the phone.
And that, so to that me, is this exactly like why it doesn't
disconnects
work.
Me from the phone.
That is exactly why it doesn't work for you, because you're still worried about what if someone needs to contact me? What if there's an emergency? What if it doesn't matter? And
I mean, what should I not be worried about that? Like if my... For instance, my wife was in a car accident years ago, and I needed to go help her and go meet up with her and make sure she's okay. But if that kind of stuff was happening and I didn't keep my phone nearby and I just stayed like disconnected for however long.
Okay, I'm not saying I'm completely unreachable, but I'm not like...
Kinda. If you
I don't have my phone on me,
you don't
and
have
it's charging
watch?
Across the room, and I don't have my watch on, I'm likely sitting at my desk editing a video, in which case I will still get the phone calls, I will still get text messages, but it's not an addictive urge to hop on YouTube or hop on Twitter or answer every single text, because sometimes the texts aren't important.
I don't have Twitter on my phone
Sometimes
either.
Those texts aren't important.
Yeah, but the watch lets you know the texts aren't important, whereas without the watch, you don't really know if they're important or not. They could be. So
who cares? I'll disconnect. Hey, if the world all goes to crap in a couple days, I will just walk down to the river and go fishing. Nobody will ever know what happened to me. I will just die standing there holding my fishing pole as the nuclear blast vaporizes me.
I don't know. I feel like we've been saying that for years now.
What?
I feel like, how long is the world going to be 2 days away?
I was just thinking that. It's okay, Nick. Don't believe the lies that you're being sold by, you know, all news. The world's fine.
I
carry
feel
on after
more
January 20th. We're good. We're fine.
I feel more disconnected with the watch, which sounds backwards, but that's just the experience I discovered.
I have the exact inverse experience.
It for a month.
Because the disconnection I feel when I'm wearing the watch is a fake disconnection, because I'm still connected. And I want the true disconnection where, someone could have died, and I won't know about it for a few hours. Okay, I got to enjoy I got to enjoy those 2 hours not knowing that a person died. Isn't that great?
Nick, come pick me up. I'm in hell. I'm in trouble. I need. I ran out of gas. Please help me.
If I ever get arrested, I know who I'm not
calling.
Exactly.
Do not call me. Do not call me.
Ever.
In an emergency, we know who not to reach out to.
I'm a very unreliable friend.
Ever.
I don't know. I just think people are not...
To each their own.
...disconnecting enough. And so, yeah, I would encourage everyone to disconnect in whatever way that means to you. My chair just fell.
I love going on runs with my watch because I still got my music and I'm still tracking my activity, but at the same time, not like there's no YouTube there. There's no, you know.
When I do my bike ride, I listen.
Are you running to feel your ring or to satisfy that urge to release some endorphins?
Both.
Both. Then how can you be disconnected?
It can be. I can want two things. I'm disconnected from my phone,
but not from technology.
No, that's fine. I mean, someone with a pacemaker probably doesn't want to be disconnected.
We're not talking about pacemakers. Are you saying your watch is implanted
on
your arm?
Technology that encompasses.
If we are talking about pacemaker, don't put an iPhone 12 near it.
I'm saying I'm not going to be disconnected from tech. I'm going to be disconnected from my phone, which is one genre of tech. Not you don't need, I don't know. I don't feel the desire to be disconnected from all tech. Just some. The addicting part.
Well, I feel the desire to be disconnected from all tech. So everyone, stop buying iPhones. Let the stock crash, and then nuke Apple. My goodness. No, I'm kidding. nuke them, but wow. You know, nuke their stock value or whatever.
Nuke them with that $100 billion quarter of revenue profits and everything.
Wonder how much revenue they'll be making 10 years from now.
Probably a lot.
A trillion.
A quarter. Yeah, they'll probably figure it out.
Big tech is going to get bigger.
They'll probably figure it out.
It's just Tim Cook with a crayon and a few graphs, and he's just like, now how can we make this better? Draws a green arrow up.
And this is why they paid me the big bucks.
So, Randy, are you not interested in Touch ID coming back at all now, or do you see like somewhat of a demographic for people who still want it? Regardless of the watch,
I think there's a use case for both. I think it should make a comeback. One for social economic purposes that you don't want to be the one phone company that looks like you're not adopting with the times. Given the
I don't know what just happened, my light went out and came back.
You know what's funny? I thought iPad was just doing its thing.
I think my smart bulb went through a software update really quick or something. It was just like, whoop.
Interesting.
I'm getting hacked right now.
Uh-oh. But yeah, no, I think there's a use case for having Touch ID. Because Apple Watch at the end of the day, I think it's categorized as a peripheral, an accessory. It's not a standalone. Even as a standalone OS, it's not a standalone device. Truly, it has to be paired. It still has to be boot up and paired to the Apple or the iPhone and all that stuff. So, with that prioritizing iPhone to be like it's a standalone computer, it makes sense to have a Touch ID. Option, which they do currently. So,
just a little. You get the SE and you get the dunce hat. And you
that's
get
right.
Cheap tattooed on your forehead.
That's it.
Instead of, we have an option.
Instead of Jared Leto's broken, you get cheap.
Yeah.
All that chit chat's gonna get your heart.
You have to. Yeah, you get Touch ID over there. The way I see it. Because I saw a lot of people saying, like, oh, this isn't actually solving the problem. This is just kind of selling a solution. But the way I see it is if you're having a problem with lack of Touch ID, it means you have an iPhone with Face ID. And if Apple adds Touch ID to the iPhone, that's still selling a solution because you have to buy a new iPhone. And I guess there's trade-in value and all that. But at the same time, I would argue that it's probably cheaper to just buy an Apple Watch than it is to buy a whole iPhone 13.
My only pushback on that is there are people who are just not watch wearers. They don't like watches.
I know. Nick is right there.
I have an Apple Watch.
There's
Series
one on
7.
This show.
It's literally non-existent because they couldn't figure out what to make of it. They were like, "Well, the 6 doesn't." Yeah.
But does Apple care really? Does Apple really care if someone's like, "I'm not a watch wearer"? They can be like, that's too bad.
I think there's some level of caring on that because you could still do activity on the activity app with just your phone, and
I think just with the health app. I don't know about the fitness app. Does that work without a watch?
It does because I disconnected for a couple
How
days
come
on
Nick
my watch.
Is always zero then.
That's because I don't know. He's never he sits there 24/7. He never moves.
Ouch!
I don't think it does work.
It works for me because I took off my watch a couple of weeks ago, and I broke the habit of closing my rings daily. And I was like, you know, I'm going to disconnect for a couple of days just because I got tired of feeling like I needed to cheat the activity system. And then I went into the app on my phone. And the days that my watch was off, my rings were still being closed from when I was moving around. It knows when you're going up and down still, and when you're taking steps. All the hardware in there that's reading all the stuff is still happening. It just gives you better reading with the watch, but it was still doing its own thing. It wasn't perfect, but I didn't care.
I think the audience has got to back me up on this one because I'm pretty sure that's not correct. Otherwise, Nick would not show zero each and every day unless he was literally dead.
I really don't take my phone around with me throughout the day, so.
Yeah, but he said it can tell going up and down. It has no way to track calories or time to stand or
that,
exercise.
So that's the part where it would have been inaccurate of standing.
Oh, I deleted
standing,
the
but
health
when
app.
I, when
that's
I
why,
was walking.
That's why you're not seeing it.
Activity.
Well, the health app tracks through the phone. Yeah, I know that. But I'm saying the fitness app, I don't think it does.
I also don't have the
activity
fitness app on my phone.
Gives you.
That must be why.
You do have the health app because you can't delete it. That's a rooted app. You can't delete
it there
health.
In my app library. All
it's right. There. I promise.
I guess
he's
I gotta go dig in for it now.
He's changed
just type
the
in
badge.
Health. Anyway, so
I'm gonna try to delete it now.
all that it's a rooted app.
There it is. It's at the very
no,
bottom.
No, it says I can remove
there
it.
There it is. Okay.
It lets you remove it from home screen.
It's not
but
the same.
It will
you
still
can't
be
delete
in the
it.
App library.
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting.
Man, I hate being right all the time. Just kidding.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about the fitness thing.
I know.
I still don't
the
believe
activity,
it will track
the activity
that.
Still continues once you take off your watch. It's not as accurate, but it was doing it for me for a couple days. So, well, audience, do your thing.
Because the fitness app only shows up when you set up an Apple Watch, right?
Right. But, well, I mean, yes, it does show up with the watch. But if you take it off, it's still going to do its with all the nuances of the health app doing its thing. A lot of it converts over to the activity ring. It won't tell you that you're having a heart attack or your irregular heartbeats or anything like that.
No, it can't. Yeah,
but it will know if it's in your pocket. The way it sways and moves, it knows when you're taking a step. And if it knows you're walking, it's going to be like, all right, well, he's obviously not sitting, so it's going to apply that to your stand goal. And if you are moving at a quick enough brisk walk, that brisk walk or faster is when exercise ring starts to close with or without doing an exercise. I have
I've
done
never
that.
Seen that.
I have done that for years. It wasn't until maybe a little over a year and a half ago that I actually started using fitness workouts and stuff like that to close my green ring. Before, everything with exercise was me doing a brisk walk or a run with the watch, and it just knew with my heart rate. And I didn't understand how that worked because it was like, oh, do this exercise to get this special badge. So then I would do it, and it wouldn't log it because I didn't start the exercise. I didn't understand that part. So the green ring does close with never doing an activity or a fitness category.
That's weird.
Yeah. I was doing that for years. So that's just
so
the thing.
You bought a watch and then you didn't wear the watch for years?
No. I bought a watch, but I never did the workouts for years. I never went to workouts and did it. And it's still I could still close my green rings just fine. When I would hike the mountains.
Yeah, green will move without the workout.
Yeah. So that's what, same thing will happen if you take off your watch and you're running. And your phone is moving in your pocket as such. It knows you're running. It's going to still fill your rings. So you don't. All that to say that activity is not codependent on just having an Apple Watch. It can still be used with your phone. The only thing that I think Apple Watch is an exclusive feature that it has to have is when you start coming to like heart rate and. You know, just the more
phone can't do
I
that.
Fell. Oh, you fell. Okay, now we got to. Do we need to call? You know, do we need to call old person alert? So
life alert. Yeah,
old person alert. But okay. So bringing it back now, I think there's still a use case for Touch ID to come back to an iPhone. I don't think it'd be my preferred method because I'm a watch wearer. If I could just tap my screen and it already unlocks. Because I'm wearing my watch, and that's a good substitute for an older device, I'm all for it. If it is a newer device and you're going to bring it back, no harm, no foul. I could care less. It doesn't matter. But for old phones, that's your fix. Use your Apple Watch. So in that case of selling a solution, you're right in the sense that no matter what, you're going to have to pay money down the road. But say they bring for iPhone 13 this year, hey, we got Touch ID back, and you got Face ID. Awesome. But for everyone who has a 12 or older, use your Apple Watch. Cool. I'm not losing any sleep over it, but it's not.
I'm losing so much sleep over this.
Yeah.
Every night.
But some people will find a benefit. You got the people who like to upgrade every year who turn
some
in their
phones.
Some
people just like Touch ID more than Face ID, objectively.
I would say
not
I'm
just
one
for
of those,
the mask.
I'm one of those people. There's some cases wow. I like. Yeah, I've loved. But the thing is,
I'm the opposite. I despise.
I'm a fanboy of nostalgic moments in Apple's history, and iOS 7 and iPhone 5S was like my. The way you guys lose your, I think both of you, I know Nick for sure, you guys lost your crap over watching. Yeah, I know. You guys watching Apple Watch, and Apple Watch was that for me too, but not as much as like Nick has drooled over remembering what. Oh my God, Apple Watch! But for me, that was iPhone 5S and iOS 7 as the here's the post Steve Jobs, and moving out of that, I was like, oh, I am here for this, and because of that. I have a very special place in my heart with smaller iPhones. I have the iPhone 5 design that would have Touch ID, and it just feels like simpler times. It's very clean. And I like the idea of not being codependent on my watch if I don't need it. But I like having my watch there if I do. Like you, Drew, I work out with just my watch, and I'll put my books on here. I'll ride my bike, and I'm listening to a good book, and I'm gone for hours, just zoned out in it. And that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And I don't want my phone with me for stuff like that. But that's just me time. So that's where, like Nick, I'll disconnect from the world. But in a way that me I still time. Need tech just so I can listen to books and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. There's ways to use tech to focus on within.
As long as I don't let it control me, that I can use it to help benefit me in a way. But I'm trying to be conscious about it and aware about how much of it I am. Because it's a constant struggle. Every day is a struggle about, you know, when you wake up and the first you check my phone notifications, text messages and stuff. For me, okay, did my wife call me while I was sleeping? Did I miss it? Okay, I'm good. But then I instinctively, first thing I do, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. And I'm like, I hate that part about myself. And I try to break it. But it's a constant struggle. It's you try to always work towards enlightenment. I don't need it. But it's
you got to use tech, not let it use you.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it, Drew. That's exactly why I have been less in favor of Apple Watch and tech in general lately. Just it's been using me. I'm feeling like I've been used. It's an abusive relationship. And now I'm going to try to help myself. And disconnect. Okay.
You're safe here, Nick.
So part of the thing is I feel a little disconnected because the iMac has been terrible.
Really?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Because the iMac won't connect to anything.
The iMac is like, guys, when I tell you that, just recording in OBS is about the extent of what I can do. I can't use Final Cut anymore.
Well, good thing you have LumaFusion on your iPad.
I've been hearing that.
What?
All
so
glorious.
Many things I want to unpack there, but
mean?
I just don't want to.
64 gigs.
That's why everyone
iPad.
Should have gotten the 1 terabyte iPad.
No, I got 128. I have a 2018. There was no 1 terabyte back then.
Yeah. There was a 1 terabyte in 2018. Yes, there was.
In 2018?
There was a 1 terabyte option on the 2017 model, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Didn't it have like four? Wasn't that one of the few devices to have like four storage options?
Yeah.
64, 128, 256.
Wouldn't that have like cost me like half the value of my house to just buy a terabyte version of it?
I mean, you live in a paper box.
I think it's about 9,000.
So
the
last
storage upgrades are exponentially priced. So it's like 1,000, 1,500, 3 million.
That's not exponential.
A place in Los Angeles, a place in San Francisco. They're just costing by places in regions of California.
The iPad Orville. Price changes dependent on where you live.
Base models, Orville, then San Diego, then Los Angeles, then San Francisco. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I can't afford that. So last week we ended up making it the Mac Mini show, and evidently I guess that was a very popular episode. And I had the update there is I ordered a Mac Mini that night, and I got the base model, and then from that B&H website, and they said it would be here on Wednesday. Sweet. Tuesday night, your package hasn't shipped yet due to inclement weather. We'll let you know once it ships. Okay. Wednesday. Still pending.
Ah!
I canceled my order. And now, one thing is a fan in the comments was saying, Randy, just use the veteran discount with ID.me to verify your status and get 10% off at Apple. And I pause. I go,
10%?
The same base model does cost $629.99. On Apple, if I just use my veteran discount, and that was cheaper, and it's confirmed that it would get here. If I order it today, it would get here on Monday, which I'm not ordering that
today. Come on,
today.
What are you dragging your feet for, dude?
So,
order the Mac Mini!
Because!
Shout out to FXKGP2.
That's the guy. Thank you. I called my wife. I was like, we've been doing it wrong. So for now, I'll never not use that portal ever again. So I signed in. I submitted all my things. And it's like, okay, thank you for your service and all that stuff. Thank you, Apple. 10% is pretty close.
With that
10%
voice.
Is pretty close to employee discount. It's not as good. Employee discount is the best, but
10%
is
pretty
darn close
to the California
close
State
cash back.
Sales tax. So, I mean, you're almost...
It's higher.
It's more.
10%.
Higher?
It's higher than our sales tax.
Okay.
Plus 3%. Sales tax is 7.25.
Yeah.
So.
Plus the 3% back. So I allocate that money as 13%.
Wow.
That's almost double tax.
Yeah. So with that, and I've been thinking, and I've been up really late last night processing this, I don't think I'm going to get the Mac Mini. If this is going to be a temporary thing for me anyway, and I was running numbers, and I was like, regardless, the 13, 14-inch MacBook Pro later is what I want for the time being, what I'm going to experiment with now, just because I can, I'm going to get a half terabyte MacBook Air.
Huh. Oh, cool. Okay. Interesting.
That's
the exact one I got.
There's a very specific logistical reason why I chose that model. Without going into the nuances of MacBook Pro and MacBook Air, those were very similar, and everything that I've read said that you're not really getting that much in the short term of a difference. So you can use that difference, that $200+ difference, and apply it towards something. Mm-hmm. And I'm applying it towards half a terabyte of SSD, which is I know I can work off of because I use it for the iMac now. My logistical reasoning for getting the MacBook Air over a Mac Mini is even tell you guys, for those who are on my channel, is the cabling struggles that I have moving my iMac around recording time when I do music with my keyboards over here, my guitars over there, my mic's right here. And one thing that I've always loved about using a MacBook as a whole was me just moving that with me everywhere I go. I have used in the past, and I broke it down, I had a dedicated vocal room that I can use to record audio that I used to do for podcasts back in the day, for music back in the day, that is actually more soundproofed and everything like that. And it's not just out in the open like this where there's all this reverb. So I want to – my focus is obviously music. And I like the flexibility of bringing the MacBook with me. I'm in my office too long, and one thing I keep bouncing back off of you guys is that I try to get out of this office, especially since I'm here by myself. I need to be more engaged downstairs with these other pets of mine, and I can't because I'm glued here trying to get work done. So I don't lose anything by switching to a MacBook Air over a Mac Mini in performance. And that's – what you saying? What's this?
You do lose ports. I would say that's your biggest drawback. The biggest issue I had when I used the MacBook Air for a while is not only are there only two Thunderbolt 3 ports, but they're on one side, which is really annoying.
Honestly, what's really annoying is not having an iMac that works and I'm glued to my desk here.
No, I agree. That's more annoying.
It's way more annoying. This is also annoying. And I haven't experienced the USB-C life like that. I'm on Amazon right now. I have a tab open looking at all the different dongles, docking, hub things that I can find that will work to my use case. I found what Nick was talking about last week or 2 weeks ago about the speed transfers of your SD cards. But when it comes to a dongle or a hub as a whole, when you plug in and you have multiple ports, none of them will give you that Type 2 style. So that's why it costs more. But I did the cheapest one that I found that was comparable to the one on Apple's $35 one is a $25 one. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't think I'm going to spend $25. I'd rather put the money towards a hub that gives me all these different ports. And I was counting everything else. I'm getting rid of my preamp for this Mac because, as you guys know, when I set up, I get the staticky thing. It has screwed up Drew's videos in the past when he's recorded here about hearing this clicking thing. Nick will call me sometimes and say, hey, you're clipping. You're having that staticky thing. And I know for a fact it's my preamp. And I found a newer version of my preamp for $100 or something. USB-C. Awesome. So I know for a fact all the stuff that I normally operate of, most of it is USB-C anyway. So the dongle I've been looking for is one that gives me back an open USB-C as well as a power source if I wanted to. So giving me three, which is more than enough than what I need for my preamp, for an external SSD if need be, and charging an iPhone or anything like that. So, plus I get USB-A. So USB-A would give me my Cam Link, for example. So I'm good. So I'm going to try it out. If I'm completely off by this, it'll go back to Apple within the 14-day window.
Did you order one?
Not yet. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it today.
Let's do it now.
Let's do it right now.
All right.
Screw it.
Live on the show.
We'll do it live.
Get your credit card number out.
Randy. Let's do it. Final price is $1,124. So let me remove the Mac Mini.
Yeah. That's cool. Which color?
Space gray.
That's the exact same MacBook I reviewed.
Is it?
Do they have it on refurbished? On the,
I don't think so. I think the refurbished is...
All right.
I'm pretty sure refurbished is packed with Intel Macs right now. It's absolutely loaded. I'm taking a look.
Hey, this one says, buy payloads of tech.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah, no, these are Intel. Yeah,
and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. Because no one wants the Intel Max anymore. So they're just everywhere.
13-inch space gray. I'm verifying
that. I wish they made a 16-inch MacBook Air.
Half. What'd you say?
Oh, don't say that.
I wish they'd make a 16-inch MacBook Air. That'd be cool.
It's something like that's coming. Retina, true
tone, big screen, but still thin.
Okay. Yeah, half terabyte, no Apple Care. Check out with Apple Pay. Final sales price for me is
$12.15.
Can do the watch thing. Oh, here we go. Let's authenticate. $12.15.11. Check out with Apple Pay. I clicked it. Survey says sign in for faster. I am signed in. Oh, there we go.
You're on an Apple device using an Apple browser, authenticated through all that, and then it's like, no. You're not signed
still
in.
Still sign in.
It wants me to sign in with my iMac password? Yeah, my iMac password, not my iCloud. Okay.
Make sure it's the keyboard's not in the camera.
Oh, was it? Oh, I panicked. Oh, it's like, deliver it. There we go. Check out with Apple Pay. Does it go to my watch?
3%.
Here we go. It's processing. Apple Card. It's loading. See, this is how slow everything is. It just went confirm on my watch. No. All right, fine. All right. So here it is on my watch, guys. There it is.
Hey. It's
official. Here we go. Double click.
On your phone.
Woo. Face
ID.
That
is not a watch.
And.
Yeah, I know. If that was a watch, that would be the Apple Watch.
$12.23.54 is the final price. Done.
500 millimeter.
Yay.
Okay, and that's including your 7.75% tax rate in San Diego,
California.
All right, there it is. Oh, wait.
Yes.
On the show.
Screen is off.
Live on the show. It's
done.
We
did it.
Nice job.
When does it get here?
It just updated the delivery time. It just updated it to February 15th.
Ooh. 15th.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. Randy! You didn't use my computer or my office before then?
No, I want a hump day show.
Yeah, like, why wait? What was the benefit to waiting?
I can't.
Can you go to the Apple Store and pick one up? Can you go to Best
Not
Buy
if
and
I
pick
want
one
my
up?
Discount.
Like, there has to be a quicker way to get this.
Mm. Yeah, the discount is nice. That included the 10%, right?
You are
That's
an extremely patient
I
man,
grew up
Randy.
In
Congratulations.
A time before all your instant gratifications.
But you were expecting a Mac Wednesday.
All right, Mr. Apple Watch.
Well, I canceled it because the seed was planted about the whole 10% off thing anyway. I was like, ooh. And as much as I love the idea of using a Mac Mini, I want to if my end goal is to get a MacBook Pro anyway, I need to start that transition anyway with dongles and stuff like that as is. And I don't want to get the faster card reader if the rumored SD card is coming back anyway. And if it's not coming back, then I got something that's still... Anything I do, like what you said, Drew, anything I get now is still better than what I've been working off of. With speed, performance. I won, regardless. So I ultimately want to be able to not be attached to the office. I want to be able to walk away from here when I can and have that separation and bring it with me.
And then
me.
You're going to... Sell it when the Pro comes out?
Yeah.
That's the plan? Okay, gotcha.
Absolutely.
Good.
I have no intention
of getting
a MacBook
ordered.
Air. I have never bought a Mac. I've never used the MacBook Air ever. It looks stupid thin. And Nick putting on Twitter like last week, doesn't this just want to sell you? And Johnny Ive promoting the original MacBook. I'm like, it's so thin, I want it.
Dude, it's not the 12 inch MacBook
but
is
that
still
doesn't
thinner,
exist.
Lighter, and more compact
in the
M1
world.
Air.
In the M1
yes, it
world,
does.
It doesn't exist.
It should.
It's the
it
closest
should.
Thing
I wonder
to
what
MacBook
the
Air.
Performance wise the M1 is compared to the 12 inch MacBook. It's probably like 30 times faster or something like that. Like the 12 inch MacBook
probably.
Specs were pretty bad. Like.
Honestly, Apple should just update the 12-inch MacBook with an M1 processor just for the one slide where they can say, and this year's MacBook is 400 times faster in GPU performance than the last model.
Yeah.
It's 400X.
They could be like leaps and bounds better than the last generation we released 5 years ago or whatever.
And you wouldn't be wrong.
However long it's been.
No, like that's the only reason why they would.
So the thing, what's so enticing about the MacBook Air or just the thinnest MacBook as a whole is what has always made me so captivated by the iPad Pro, the one that we have, is how heavy it is. How heavy it is. And technically, that statement is true. How heavy it is not that heavy at all, and just how slim
and sleek.
With the
keyboard case, it's like heavier than a MacBook Air.
I like the idea. It's true. It's probably thicker too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's very thick and heavy.
So I feel that the elegance part of something so thin and being so powerful the way a MacBook Pro – I mean, iPad Pro is an interesting challenge for me. Am I able to get the same output like from a dedicated GPU from an iMac? We're about to find out. No matter what's happening right now, the fact that my iMac has become nothing more than a web browser or a OBS streaming thing, and even then, it's laggy.
What changed?
If I'm being honest, I think Big Sur.
Big Sur broke it.
I think Big Sur. Every time I get an update, it degrades. There's something about. That's the only thing that makes sense, that when I'm exporting something in Final Cut, it just, hey, Kika, you good? Interrupting my show? Now she's looking at me like, what? Sit down. God. Everyone's going to hear her scratching now. But just the exporting time.
How are you today, Nick?
Just because you... I'm doing fine.
Did you think he made the right decision?
With Randy, he reneged on. No, I do not. I hold by everything that
Nick
I said last week.
Nick doesn't give his blessing.
In fact, I'm doubling down on it. I do not give my blessing, Randy. You are wrong. Even though the MacBook
like,
Air M1
no, Nick
is
only
put
it on his show. Nick had told me off air. He's like, dude. I'm captivated by using a MacBook Pro in general and using the Mac Mini for different use cases. And when Nick was talking about how he's like, I could just unplug and go. I'm like, I want that.
Yeah. Well, I will say a little bit transitioning into new Mac rumors. Touch bar is rumored to go away, isn't it? I just decided I love the touch bar, and I would strongly consider not selling this Mac just because
it has a touch bar.
I believe you.
Honestly.
That's a Nick move.
So I back in the day, when I was in, I know, keeping an Intel Mac just for the touch bar.
Knowledge.
Back in the day, when I was in university, I wrote a lot of papers and stuff, and I really enjoyed having the touch bar have that little predictive thingy. Like, I'm such a lazy person that I want the little words just right there,
a little millimeter
move. I love that. Like, I love that so much. And I've been scripting a bunch of videos for my Nick Picks YouTube channel. And
he's never done that.
Nick Picks, Randy.
You gotta say it
faster. You don't get the text
though.
I get, Drew.
And they're live photos, too.
They're my pictures. Oh, my gosh. You guys are terrible.
I love predictive
text. No, they're not. Take a professional camera. Yes, predictive text is amazing. And I've been typing everything up in notes. And, like, for this most recent Nick Picks video, it was like a 25-minute video file.
Oh,
I chopped down to about 7 minutes. But it was this whole script that I wrote. There's no word counter on notes, but it has to be at least, 1,500, 2,000 words. And, like, I forgot as I was typing this out, I forgot how handy it was to just have the little touch bar with the predictive text.
I know the iPad does also have
the predictive text, but you have to reach up a little bit. You have to reach up a little bit, and it's just that much
you
more inconvenient. It's not terrible.
You can put the iPad in a way that's
but
really
I just
close.
Fell in love with...
It's not floating, but...
Yeah, you can do that.
If they would have put touch bar right above the trackpad and right between the keyboard and trackpad, that would have been cool.
Mm.
Because as you have your typing right there, it's
browsing.
I can see going down like that more.
Why would you want to move your whole hand?
Well,
down
if I'm being honest, like, how I type, I know you can't see, but the Sonny's picking it up. I would use my thumbs and my hands, my hand placement, just using this, going like this, and I can look and boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, but then palm would injection. Be a thing. Anyway, all that to say, I love the Touch Bar, and I would, even if the Unicorn 16-inch MacBook Pro came out, if it doesn't have a Touch Bar, I'm really going to have to think hard about it. Like, so hard that I might keep this computer just to have a Touch Bar, because I loved the experience scripting with this. I took it outside on the back porch, enjoyed the most beautiful sunset, and I was just
You're
sitting
so beautiful
there
typing words,
away,
Nick.
Clicking my predictive...
Because I'm pitching, it's like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want that.
You can soon.
You didn't see the cows mooing in the background.
Smelling the manure.
Or the bird or the dogs barking, but it was beautiful. But I love the Touch Bar. This predictive thing is like, I guess I just forgot how amazing it is. But like, y'all, if you have a MacBook Pro with the Touch Bar, like, I don't understand why people don't like it. I honestly don't see why people are like, oh yeah,
I know why. I think the lack of integration from all other applications that could have used it, just like 3D Touch, the potential's there for the hardware, but the adaptation, the adoption of it was not fully rolled out outside of certain core Apple
third
apps.
Third parties didn't really do anything with it.
You could, because one thing that I've heard before in the past was people was like, I like the idea of having like almost like the haptic engine do something that would have acknowledged a touch input. But they're like, I could get past that part. But what people were having, the most issue I saw was integration. They're like, having to click this, scroll through, find the thing, hit that when there's a keyboard shortcut, and that application didn't adopt.
That's
your case, but like, I'm answering your question. You're like, I don't know, understand why. That's why people okay. who...
But this case is used in messages.
And what you're talking about is core applications
mail,
that come from within the MacBook, like in Apple's ecosystem. But they said, hey, anybody can come in and use this. And the lack of adoption of that kind of made it just empty space, effectively, the same way 3D Touch is empty space within the iPhone.
Sure, but I would argue that the function keys are permanently empty space.
I mean, that's a preference. I mean...
I will tell you, I never, on this keyboard, I never use the play, pause, fast forward, rewind... the launch pad or the...
I agree with both of you right now.
I use the brightness on occasion.
You guys are both sides of my brain.
Like, on my iPad Pro? On my iPad Pro, I don't have...
I've never run
light,
into
miss them.
I adjust my lighting, rather have and I see what windows I have open, and I use this to get to my apps all the time, and I use the volume. I use over half of these...
To be fair,
they're all still
I
there
love
on the MacBook.
Changing brightness and volume on the Touch Bar 1,000 times more than on the keyboard.
That is the
where
best
I just have
way.
To press
is,
a button over and over again instead of just tap and swipe, and you can adjust the volume from super loud to really quiet really quickly, and you can be a lot more precise instead of click 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 click. I hate that, and I've been on the record for years saying that if Apple made a $350 Magic keyboard with a Touch Bar that I could pair with my iMac, I would buy it, legitimately. I don't care if I had to charge it.
Wait, I would charge it every three days.
I'm sorry, say that again? If Apple did what now?
If Apple made this, ignore this part. I don't like the numeric pad that just came with it. But this regular keyboard, but with a Touch Bar on the top, and it was $350, and you had to charge
with
it every 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it didn't have Touch ID. It could.
I wouldn't mind. That'd be so cool.
If you do Touch ID, then it would. I've gotten into so many arguments about this in Discord. Some people were like, "You can't do Touch ID because that's over Bluetooth to unlock the Mac." And I'm like, "Yes, you can. You just have to have a secure enclave. That's the same way the Apple Watch is able to unlock the Mac. So it would be very expensive. Mm-hmm. I know that. I'm saying it would not be a cheap keyboard, but I love the Touch Bar that much. For the same reason, I'm willing to buy a $350 iPad keyboard case. I'd be willing to buy, because I use my iMac arguably more than the iPad sometimes on certain days, and being able to have the predictive text and change the volume and stuff, I'm all there with you, but at the same time, there's a bunch of people who want a physical button to tap. They don't like virtual screens, and they use a bunch of applications that don't support it, so there's no predictive text there or whatever. But I think as like a core Apple sheep who uses a lot of first-party applications, it was really, really nice. But especially after running lots of polls and seeing
what
people's response to it.
What Nick has shown me when he came over last time and he brought his MacBook Pro and he let me use it for Logic, it was really cool being able to scrub and do it. I really like that.
I love that.
Even in Final Cut. So where it was utilized, I remember looking at Nick like, oh, this is cool. And I do like it. The only thing I care about on that upper section of the MacBook or of the keyboard as a whole, the only thing that I ever cared about is having the actual escape key, because you can use that to access the right. So
they brought it back there on the new Macs. Yeah. And even then, the escape key is persistent. You cannot get into a view where the escape key is not visible.
I like the idea of having your escape key, because you can enter your task manager that way, and it's a hardware thing. It's not a software thing. So you can get into your task manager or whatever.
I think it is
option command escape. Yeah. Force quit application. So that's
I'd never run into an issue personally. I know other people differ, but I've never run into an issue personally where the touch bar didn't have the escape key when I needed it. I know people that have said the touch bar would freeze on them. It never once has frozen on me. And I've also the touch bar is running on a separate chip from the rest of the Mac, which is important to remember, because when I've used a Mac with a touch bar and had the OS freeze up, and usually the touch bar would still respond. It wasn't like the touch bar would freeze with the OS. It's like its own separate running on the T2 chip or whatever. So. Yeah. I wish it would stay, but I totally get it.
It's the same thing with 3D Touch. The only thing that matters to me up there, whether they keep it or not, is I really like the idea, and this is from someone who's never used it, so that's why I want it. I just want Touch ID right there. That's it. Mm. Touch bar or not,
well,
I don't care.
That's what you're getting with the MacBook Air.
I know. Exactly, it's just cool. I I'm nostalgic in that sense. I like Touch ID, and I like to have the option. And the idea that my watch will be on, and I open the lid, and it's already unlocked, is even cooler. So I just like having the options of it. And Touch Bar, from what Nick showed me, that limited time I was with it, is really cool. I'm indifferent about it because I never got to be that.
It is expensive, though.
It
adds a lot to the cost to the Mac.
If Touch Bar was on the MacBook Air, I think for M1 MacBook Air, because I'm just experimenting anyway, I would have gotten that one just to experiment and try it. My little time. I know, but it's a MacBook Pro. And that as a whole is, where can I cut costs and where can I save costs? And if M1 chip is effectively the same, whether it's on a desktop or a laptop, then I'll save my cost however be. But I would have liked to try the Touch Bar a little bit more. At the end of the day, as long as I get Touch ID and I have the escape key, I don't care what happens in between.
Because you probably shouldn't try the Touch Bar, because if you do end up liking it and falling in love with it, they're most likely ditching it anyway.
True,
true.
I thought
kind
about
too
that
late
too.
To fall in love.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? I just skipped this generation of Mac era, so
I haven't had a Mac with a Touch Bar in so long. It's been probably a year or so since
I've had one,
but I do miss it, though. I still, like, I've been very vocal and I've been very adamant in my videos. Like, I love the Touch Bar. I want it to stay. I know it's probably too complicated for supply chains, but I wish it was optional. I wish at checkout you could just be like, no Touch Bar, or add Touch Bar for an extra $300. I would be the guy to pay the extra $300. Like, I would do that. It's valuable to me. But it's not – I totally get why they want to remove it. I'm in agreement with both sides on this one.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Unfortunately, I can't see the other side. It makes
sense. A lot of people don't like it.
For you.
It's like they brought back the escape key.
Your Nick, do you have a dongle?
Is that question for me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
my question
dongles,
for Drew.
What's up?
Nick, do you have a dongle?
No. Well, no, because he goes, "What's up?" I was like, "Huh." So, because this is directed towards your quack quack. For example, how many Is it 5, 7, 8, and 1? What is it? What are the iOS that you get back in return?
I'm using it as we speak. It has 3 USB-A. It has 1 HDMI 2.0, I believe. And then it has Ethernet, charge pass-through, USB-C, and then SD, and then micro SD. So 8, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I've used the Ethernet a few times when I had a MacBook, and I wanted to go directly through. Sometimes we'd be testing stuff with the Wi-Fi, and the network isn't working, but I wanted to direct line access.
Dial up?
And you can actually do Ethernet to the iPad through that, which is cool.
That's weird. It
supports it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I use that all the time.
Wow.
All the time?
I mean, all the time.
Also, you never had micro SD on the old MacBooks. So this brings back some ports you didn't really have in the first place. It's like you had to use an adapter either way. And this, this lets you charge through all that. So, yeah, a lot of people always complained about the lack of legacy ports. It never really bothered me because of how much each port can do. It's like all of those ports you're complaining about not having could only do one thing. Now there's fewer ports, but each one USB-C port can bring back everything a pre-existing MacBook. Like, all its ports put together can be done with one, just through one adapter. People are like, oh, you got to buy all these dongles. It's like, you just get one. You're done.
I will make call it a day. Legal.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's nice. I like it.
I'm surprised thinking about it all these years. It's been 6 years now. It will be 6 years since they introduced USB-C for MacBook. You would think within the 6 years, more adaptation of, like, I was always curious in this cycle of MacBook, would we finally, and this is not on Apple, this is not Apple's fault, just industry. When can we get rid of dongles because everything would have adapted to USB-C? It doesn't seem like the integration has happened after 6 years. You asked me, agree USB-C is the final port. Yeah. It's a great port, but we still have to have adapters for things. And so then I'm like, is that on me? Because I have an old, outdated, like, preamp? Okay, so I found one with the USB-C. But what about everything else that I use? Like the Cam Link and stuff like that. That I'm looking, is there a USB-C? Am I in the wrong? Because I feel like I still need a dongle. And at the end of the day, we still need one for the SD card reader. And that's sad, but, maybe that's the workaround, but...
If you had a newer Sony, they have
USB-C.
Oh, my
goodness. Okay,
well.
So it is
me. My Blackmagic has USB-C. It's not just you. I think it's the
A7s,
the third A1. Parties are still too hesitant to pull the trigger because USB-A has been so widely supported for so long that if they don't ship accessories and stuff with USB-A, they kind of lose out on a huge potential market. And Apple's so big and so successful that they don't really care when they block out that type of market because they're like, oh, you'll get over it. But all the rest of the industry is a bit too hesitant.
Microsoft is a great example. Quarter revenue does not care about what you accessory companies are doing.
Rolled my eyes so hard when I saw the Series X and PS5 still have USB-A on them. I was just like,
I know.
Are you serious? A whole nother generation? Because
these things don't
come out every year. These consoles come out once every like 6 or 7 years, and yet they're still rocking USB. And I'm like, come on, just commit already.
Are genuine, like, generational gaps between children and young adults that are like.
It was in a different time of my life for every console unveiling. I remember it's a very different time.
2013 was PS4 and Xbox One. All right, you guys were very different in 2013, right?
I remember. I was at a piano lesson when the PS4 came out. No joke. I remember.
I remember sitting in class.
Very different time.
Yeah, I'll sit in class, and then they're like, here it is. And I was like, ooh. And they're like, Mr. Vasquez, something you want to share? I'm like, PlayStation 4, look at it. Look at the Xbox. And then that's what's the talk for the class.
They're too scared because they know that there's a bunch of people who already have cables and controllers that they want to keep using. And they're like, we don't want to single out those people. But by sustaining those ports, it prevents the transition of USB-C from happening because people are too like, well, can I keep using my old thing? It's like, no. Yeah.
It's been 6 years just with Mac, and USB-C was around before that too.
Yep.
A little bit, yeah.
Just, I don't understand. Yeah, I hear you, and I like That's maybe I like that's the beauty of Amazon of letting me like filter. They'll be like, oh, there's a newer version of this product, and that's why I keep finding newer dongles and stuff. But it's frustrating that if one person pulls the cable, pulls the cord, and like, all right, this is what we're doing. And if everyone had the same aggressiveness to make them roll over the same way they were doing with headphones, wireless headphones now, the same way they were doing with CD drives, floppy disks before that, then do that with USB-C, because I just picture how clean it would be. I hate cable management, and this is something we all suffer. I've seen your office, Drew. Mm. I've seen your office, Nick. You've seen my office, guys. Cable management sucks, and I feel like we would just have a little bit of an easier time if we had USB-C. We could just run things a little bit more streamlined because it's so powerful, and it could do multiple information at once, too. It's so obvious.
So I totally feel you guys. Like, in 2015, when the first MacBook came out with a USB-C port, I was like, this is the future. So much so, in 2016, I spent all of my, not all of my savings, but at the time it was like, I'm like going to buy a Mac that is like, this is like my dream Mac, right? And I bought the 12-inch MacBook and loved that thing for like 2 years. Because it had USB-C. That was the only reason why I got it. Like, it was thin and light and beautiful and whatever, but like, it was like, it had USB-C. And I was like, yes. It wasn't even Thunderbolt at the time. It was just USB-C. And I had this dock, and it was everything I ever wanted. The computer might have been a little slow, although at the time I didn't really realize how slow it was. It was faster than older computers that I had.
It was like an Apple Chromebook.
And so, anyway, it was basically a very expensive Apple Chromebook. And I maxed out the storage and the RAM and got the higher tier processor and stuff. But it was USB-C. And I was like, this is the future. So much so, in 2017, when my grandpa was looking to upgrade his 2008 MacBook Pro, he was like, should I get the new MacBook Pros or get the last generation with the ports? Because he's the kind of guy who still misses the optical disk drive.
Yeah.
That's kind of where he's like, man, every couple days he'd be like, man, I just missed this optical drive. I'm like, okay, that's cool. You can get adapters. But I was selling him on the USB-C future because I had totally bought into it. I was like, yeah, in just a couple years, everything's going to be on USB-C. All the thumb drives are going to be USB-C.
Like Betamax.
And like, exactly, right? It was almost as bad as Betamax.
Everyone's going to be using Betamax.
Everyone is going to be using USB-C. And as the years have gone by, I'm like, I look around and I have mostly USB-A accessories with a few USB-C accessories. I have a dock that takes USB-C Thunderbolt 3 and converts it into a bunch of legacy ports that I pretty much fill up as far as I/O. And I'm like, where's the disconnect here? Is it because I haven't converted? Because I'm the kind of guy who would, you know, convert everything if there was a faster, better, easier way to do it, because I'm a techie and I do that. But for me, at least, like this MIDI keyboard that Randy gave me, like it's USB-A. And so it's like old little itsy bitsy USB-A to big USB-A. And I could buy another cable that will turn that into USB-C. But would I really want to fill up one of my two USB-C ports on the Mac Mini with a MIDI keyboard?
A. Yeah.
And I think USB-A, I'm sorry. Yeah. I think what the real issue with USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 is, it is the port of the future, and it's the same physical design.
Correct.
So all the ports are the same.
A lot of people
miss
that.
That means that...
They're like, but there's many different versions of USB-C. It's like, as long as it's the right shape, though, that's...
Exactly. Well, that's part of the problem, though. Like, the shape might be the same, but when a manufacturer goes to make... Like, why aren't there 8 USB-C ports on the back of the Mac Mini?
I wish.
This feels like a setup to a joke. If we...
No.
That's a great suggestion, Nick. I would love
really,
that.
I really wish. Instead of HDMI, instead of Ethernet, instead of two USB-A ports, instead of a headphone jack, I would have much rather just had 8 USB-C Thunderbolt 3 ports on the back. But that is much more expensive than the I/O that they currently have. 2 fast Thunderbolt and then a bunch of slower I/O.
Yeah.
So... I mean, the MacBook Pro only has 4 USB-C Thunderbolt 3 ports. And so the maximum you can have without a dock or dongle or an adapter is 4 devices plugged in at once. And each one of those devices has to be a USB-C device. And that's why we still have docks. That's why we still have accessories that, like, my microphone right now is running into a USB-A port, into a preamp that goes into a USB-A port, that goes into a dock, that goes into a USB-C port into the back of my Mac Mini, and is now being read in as audio. My Cam Link is USB-A. Yep. It's not USB-C. Like, a lot of these things are still USB-A, like, brand new technology. Yeah, you said PS4. Four, the newest one, whatever that is, and yeah, all the new things are still USB-A, and it's like this future might never happen, and I'm kind of sad because I believe in the USB-C port so much that, like, I put my money where my mouth was way back in the day in 2016 and bought the Mac that everyone laughed at only having one port because I believed in that future, and that future still hasn't come.
We still need, we basically need an executive order that says do not ship USB-A cables anymore, because it's really it really comes down to the third parties and what people ship stuff with, because they don't want to exclude or make accessories that they know aren't going to work. And it's fair to say that the rest of the computer industry didn't jump on USB-C as much as Apple did. Apple was just like, all in, let's go, let's get nothing but USB-C. And Microsoft, with all their laptops, was like, but we still got USB-A if you want, so we give you options. And there's a market that wants that option, but as long as you keep providing it, then people will keep being complacent and keep using older ports. Doesn't matter how slow they are or how bad they are. And because of legacy companies not wanting to exclude that demographic and being too afraid of the backlash of going all in, they don't. So they keep the hard drive I bought came with a USB-C to USB-C and a USB-C to USB-A. So they're like, we got you covered either way. So as long as we keep acknowledging it's a thing, it's just going to push the issue back. And for the record, I don't think there was a better way to go about this in Apple's cause. I don't think that the smart decision would have been just keep shipping the old ports in 2016, 17, 18, 19, because then we would still be flipping the USB-A each time and trying to get by with older tech that's clearly not as good as USB-C. So, like, Apple's done this before. They know how to push people to a new standard, but I think it's just because it's replacing so many things that it's so people are so hesitant towards it. Whereas in the past, you may have been replacing one or two things. Now you're trying to replace everything. So people are dragging their feet with the transition. And that sucks because there's not really anything one brand can do to fix that. It has to be a collective effort.
Yeah. I don't think the flipping of the USB-A is the issue. I think
I hate that so much. It would have been better off if it looked like an HDMI port, because then you could actually look at it and know, okay, that's how it goes in. Instead, it's symmetrical but not reversible. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. what I was going at with it is that I don't think that's the issue.
What I think
the beauty of USB-C is it being a universal port. That within itself is why it's frustrating for me. Not the flipping of USB-A. I like the simplicity of, like what Nick is saying, like that one port. It was a status symbol. It was a mission statement visually saying this one port can do it all, and that's in a grander scale outside of MacBooks and Apple and stuff like that. That's advancement in technology that in a way that where you would have all these different peripherals, all these different used to be IOs becoming a single one, and it's capable of doing that. And everyone's still dragging their feet because they're scared of backlash, when you can easily just be like, if you want to go on my website and you want the 2019 version of it, that one has USB-A. 2020, 2021, 2020, that's USB-C. There's one for each. USB-A 3.1 or something, or 3.2 is the fastest, whereas USB-C is still faster if you get the right one. That right there says, like, so even I was like, oh, but this one has the USB-C has a faster port too. So it's not just that it's universal, it moves data quicker. And
so the problem with USB-C though is it is the type connector, not the standard, but the shape is it supports these cheap devices and the most expensive external GPUs at the same time. And so that means that for a computer manufacturer like Apple, all of the USB-C I/O on their back of their computers need to be that high-class GPU-supporting port even if you're just going to plug a microphone into it or plug an SD card into it or plug, you know, some other little accessory that might be USB-C, but at the end of the day, it's only providing, you know, that USB 3.1 Gen 2 or whatever the slowest USB-C speed is. And that dichotomy is, I think, really what stifled computer makers from adopting it, because in their mind, in order to completely replace all the I/O on the back of the Mac Mini, for example, they'd have to replace all of those 8 ports with USB-C ports, which would allow you to get all of the functionality back that you had. But each one of those 8 ports would have to be the Thunderbolt controller, the extra bus, like that's 4 Thunderbolt buses for 8 ports. Mm-hmm. That's twice as many as any MacBook Pro has ever had. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big ask for these computer makers when they're trying to slice dollars off to get their margins. And so then that's why they're like, okay, well, we'll give you the fast, you know, bus level connection, but we'll also give you USB-A at a slower speed so that, you know, you there's like a distinguishing factor, right? Like, what if the Mac Mini had just the 2 Thunderbolt 3 ports and then 6 USB-C ports? That would be really frustrating. Mm. Maybe. I'd probably get over it because I'm an early adopter. But, you know, like, my grandpa would find that extremely frustrating if, like, his monitor didn't work with one of the ports on the computer. And he had to remember, like, they're all the same shape. That would almost be more frustrating than the USB-A symmetrical but not reversible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was a really tough position. I don't know if there's a better option, but it's just sad that we're here 6 years later and we're still waiting for USB-C to, like, when can you go to Best Buy or Office Depot and buy a thumb drive, like, where 80 or 90% of the thumb drives are USB-C? That's the day I'm looking. That's true. That's when we hit that point. That'll be when, like, okay, USB-C is mainstream.
That's a good point, because right now the alternative is using external hard drives that have USB-C. Like my SanDisk thing that I had, that's an SSD. It's USB-C to USB-C, but it comes with a USB-A adapter to it. And that right there, I agree with. Like, I would use thumb drives over external hard drives for sharing data when it could be USB-C. I like that.
Yeah, and even not even the expensive thumb drives, just like the $8, you know,
I feel like those are kind of replaced
gigs, like,
by,
I want to share a file.
Those are kind of replaced by cloud storage these days. So, I mean,
I totally get that they're not as relevant, but it's saying for that older generation of people who like to hold physical media, saying you're using USB-C now instead of we're using USB-A.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a shame.
And that was the future that I was selling my grandpa back in 2017. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, all the thumb drives. And by the year 2020, all of the thumb drives in just
Don't
3 years
worry, Grandpa,
are all going to be USB-C.
It's
going to
be different this time. The Mac commercial, the Mac and PC. It's going to be different this time.
It's going to be different this time.
I can't think of a better way People of going are, about it. I feel like everybody just has to kind of do their part, and not everyone is. You know, Tesla's doing their part. I'm glad they got USB-C.
True.
Thank you, Tesla.
I mean, it took
exactly.
until 2020, but
yeah.
God bless Elon. Elon bless Elon.
Type C, that's the future, you know. I'd buy new cables for my mic and stuff for Type C. I don't even know if they make them. My mic is so old. My mic is like 6 or 7 years old now, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, closing thoughts, gents?
We will report back on the 15th, so in 10 days, as of recording this, we're filming earlier this week.
Wait, another 10 days?
There will be another podcast where Randy is still not got his M1.
Yeah, I'll get my dock, I will get my new preamp, I'll get everything else before I get, and that's going to be weird because the preamp is on a USB-C, so I can't even use it for the iMac, so I still have to stick with this old one, but here's my closing thought. It's a question for you guys, and I think maybe more, both of you, because you guys have done this. When I get the MacBook Air, or when I get a MacBook in general, will it deter me from using, will I start breaking away from the iPad Pro?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Probably.
Okay.
The iPad Pro will start to feel a bit unnecessary. At least for me, that's what happened. When I had both my iMac Pro on the desk and my iPad Pro and the MacBook Air, suddenly I was like, nah, well, it's too much of something. So, yeah, I personally believe it will steer you off a bit. But you might end up using it more as a – I know you want to use it on the go more, but it might still find itself on your desk all the time because of all the accessories you got to plug into it. stuff you're not normally plugging into the iPad. So,
yeah, I only ask because like I would have not saw that use case if it was still Intel, because I think this is just a quicker device. But now that we got the M1 part happening and it is a newer device by 2 years. My thought process going into this is like, how dated is my iPad about to feel? Because I really love the iPad, and if it's even remotely comparable to the iPad Pro, I think I'm really going to like the MacBook Air for this time being. And ultimately, when I go MacBook Pro, am I just going to phase out iPad as a whole? I might if we get 1080p webcam or whatever. Then that might, because right now this is my dedicated talking to you guys. This will never change. But how much longer am I going to stay glued to this when I start moving towards the more portable Mac OS? That's what my thought is. That's my closing thought. Is that's
probably less
about.
So. All right. That's at least what I've experienced. But yeah,
All right.
I don't know. To me, it didn't feel dated though. It felt like Mac OS was the bridge to everything work related I needed to do, but the iPad was still objectively more fun just because of Face ID and 120 hertz and the equal bezel, and the MacBook hardware felt, not internally but externally, felt very dated of just like keyboard, trackpad, screen, bezel, MacBook Air text right there.
I still like, need my about iPad feels... Pro for like Procreate and Over and everything else that I use creatively. It has a purpose that I can't break from. So I think there will always be a fundamental like connect that I need. I'm not going to like be iPad less. I just now I'm wondering like how little am I going to use it? Is it going to be an a
you might be more tempted to do an 11-inch iPad Pro.
Mm-hmm.
In the next upgrade, whenever that ends up being, if you already have a 13-inch MacBook, then you'll probably be more tempted to go smaller
and make it feel
non-keyboard.
More portable. Yeah,
no keyboard iPad. Yeah, which is a great way to use it. Go with the iPad Mini.
As long as I can use
Touch
the Apple
ID
Pencil,
back.
If Apple Pencil can still stick around and hang out with us,
I'm
so dependent on that thing now, guys. God, I need it. I really need it. I would choose Apple Pencil over keyboard.
It's nearly,
that's my final thought.
Okay. Yeah. It's nearly 3 years old, and it still is like one of the most futuristic laptop 2-in-1s, in my opinion. It's very clean, very...
Mm-hmm.
The specs are still great in 2021, and this thing's from 2018. It's incredible. So,
I agree.
Still, favorite Apple product. Nothing has changed for me there.
I concur.
All right. M1 Mac Mini, still bae, though.
It's still bae.
It is nice. It is nice.
Bye, guys.
It's not my favorite, though. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.